Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the September 3rd, 2023 service at Plymouth, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Reverend Patricia Berger.
Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me."
Next is the hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty."
Thank you.
This morning, the scripture is from Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard them to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptian oppressed them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh, to Israelites out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Thank you.
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
High school chemistry. Not a highlight of my academic career. But you know, you never know. And one thing I learned in chemistry, I have carried with me ever since. Our teacher was a very faithful Lutheran. One day after we had done whatever experiment he had assigned to us, so you can see it's not the experiment that I'm going to tell you about, one of the students asked him why it had worked out the way it had. The teacher looked at all of us and said, "Why is a God question?" That's what I remember from high school chemistry. Why is a God question? A question one needs to ask God. So the really good questions, why earthquakes, why illness, why you fill in the blank, the really good questions we need to ask God. And that's where we find Moses today, asking God. Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. Suddenly, beside him, a bush seemed to be burning and yet was not being consumed by the fire. I once read about this passage that there were 6 steps to being called by God. And had Moses read that too, he might at least have suspected what was happening here. But he seemed to be quite a bit unaware. First step, God appears in some fashion, as in a burning bush. Second step, God calls out to the one who's about to go to work, Moses, Moses, and tells the person the reason for his or her task. Step 3 is the specific assignment. Go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Since God chooses people who are just plain people, foolish, weak, not necessarily well-liked or disciplined, step 4 is the chosen person saying some version of, "I don't think so, but thanks for asking." So then step 5. God says, "Go ahead, you can do it. I'll be with you wherever you go." And step 6 is a sign. In this case, God's chosen holy people would worship God on this mountain. So the steps are all there. What about Moses? Moses is ordinary enough and enough of a just plain person that he'd like to chat this all over with God for just a bit. First, of course, he's a bit reluctant to get into Pharaoh's face. Who am I to challenge Pharaoh and lead the Hebrews out of Egypt? Not a problem, God replies. I'll go with you. You will be fine. Moses is an amount nervous about the reaction of his own people, too. So who do I say sent me? He asks God. He wants to be able to tell them that it's the God of the Hebrews who sent him. And he knows that to know God's name is to have some control of that God. God certainly knows that. And so the divine response is, I am who I am. Or it can be translated, I will be who I will be. Or I create or cause to be who or what I create or cause to be. Well, what in the world does that all mean? It's an answer, and it's no answer. And that is the answer. Only those who respond to God's call will begin to know what that answer means. And at that, they'll only know parts of what it means. God is too large for any person to be able to fully identify. To name God is to limit God, and God cannot be limited. Why? Oh, that's right, why is a God question? Never mind. Sounds to me as if the God question, the why, is what Peter's dealing with in our reading from Matthew. He didn't put it in the form of a question, but surely that is there. Last week we overheard as Peter said to Jesus, you are the Messiah. And as a result of that, Jesus telling Peter that he, Peter, would build the church and would give, and Jesus would give him the keys of the kingdom. It might be a natural thing then for Peter to think that he had the right, or maybe even the duty, when Jesus told of his impending suffering and death, to be the one who would say, God forbid it, Lord. Unfortunately, he had guessed incorrectly again. He'd been too human again. The way that Jesus' response is written, get behind me, Satan, sidetracks us. It's easy for us to think that Jesus is calling Peter Satan, when his intention most likely is rather that Peter remember that the place of a disciple is behind the leader, and that leader in this case would like for Satan or temptation to get behind him. A disciple ought not be dictating action. A disciple needs to say something along the line of, okay, so how can I be helpful? And Jesus' disciples now, what's the big question for us to ask today until it's our turn to get to ask the why questions? Perhaps we, each one of us, might start with, where is God calling me? What task would God have me working at right now? Remember, we talked last week about how the mission doesn't have to be something grand or showy. The small, all but invisible things are every bit as important as the great big hoorah things. We want to be faithful, to do things that matter. We've been reading about the fires in Maui and now the hurricanes in the south of this whole piece of the country. Presbyterian Disaster Assistance is in both of those places. Your dollars, your mission dollars, are in both of those places, helping people and objects to recover. Closer to home, you may have heard or read that there was a fire at the Catholic Church in Salem last week. Well, that happens to be right across the street from First Presbyterian Church Salem. And the first that I heard about this fire was people are gathering and there's a bunch of Presbyterians here. Well, okay, that sounded doable to me. Then when I saw it on the news, the Reverend Greg Bolt, their fairly new pastor, was there and offered worship space to the Catholic people. And he said to them, I know that our space is not consecrated, but maybe it'll do for a bit. I hope that it will do for a bit. It's neighbors being neighbors, and it was really cool that some of us were in the right place to be neighbors at that point in time. Oh, and he also told them that the Presbyterians were good with casseroles in case they were short. And the priest has only been at that church for 2 months. And he looks quite young. And imagine this new project he has now that he needs to rebuild. It looks like most of the sanctuary to me, and maybe more. It will be some of the small things that people and others do that will make a big difference. God works for us and through us to accomplish the kingdom. What will it be that you do this week that will be a part of that? For now, that may be the big question. Let us pray. Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Next is the hymn, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. Next is the hymn, Be Known to Us in the Breaking of the Bread.
Thank you. out into the world to do the big things and the very small things, knowing that we are held by holy hands with a love that will not let us go.